You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our pastor, the Reverend Charles D. Twyman. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Also read verses 38 and 39 in your hearing. You would do well to read the entire 18th chapter for your understanding and context of the text. But it reads in 1 Kings 18 and 21, and Elijah came unto all of the people and said, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. But in verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. The message is formed in the form of a question. And the question is, who is your God? Amen. Who is your God? God had been good to Israel, had brought them out of bondage, allowed them through many miracles and plagues to come out of Egypt, to cross the Red Sea dry shod. And
yes, sir.
Even though they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, he brought them over the Jordan again dry shod.
That's right.
Israel had conquered many of their enemies. God gave them prophets. He gave them seers. But the people wanted kings. And so in their selection of kings, they had good kings, and they had mean and cruel and wicked kings. And one of the most wicked kings of all was King Ahab. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in 1 Kings 16:32 that he built a house and an altar for Baal, the pagan god. And verse 33 is that Ahab made a grove and did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all of the kings of Israel that were before him. Ahab was a wicked king, married to a wicked woman named Jezebel. Jezebel had called for the death of all of God's prophets. And Obadiah, one of the servants of Ahab, had hid 100 prophets of God and fed them bread and water. But the time came because Israel had begun to bring in other things other than the worship of God. They tried to add something to Judaism. They tried to have a blended religious of Judaism and Baalism. They worshiped the god of Ashtoreth, which was the fertility god along with Baal. It seemed as though they forgot that God had put in stone with his own finger the great commandments. And in Exodus 20 and 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Amen. God had made this. See, as a matter of fact, in verse 4, he told them, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of any likeness or thing that's in heaven above and earth beneath or in the water below. Thou shalt not bow down thyself or to serve these things, because he said, I am the Lord, am a jealous God.
Yes, sir.
So it was written in the tablets of stone, and Moses had given gave them the law, but now the time has come. And God had warned them when they get over there in the land of Canaan that they would forsake him, and they have forsaken him to an extent. Understand now, they were still fearful of God, and so they thought that they were also fearful of the king. For when the king married Jezebel, Jezebel brought her religion to Israel. And they began to worship Baal. As a matter of fact, it said that King Ahab built Baal a temple. Amen. An altar that it began to worship Baal. They wanted to blend in what God had gave them with what was pagan and heathenistic.
Yes, sir.
And brothers and sisters, you just can't do that. Amen. You see, God won't blend with nothing. It's him or nothing else. Amen. You can't have, you can have a blended marriage, a blended family, but you cannot have a blended Christianity. And that's all what I'm trying to tell you. You can't blend Christianity with nothing. You cannot take Christianity and take the promises of the Bible and blend it with what it says for your horoscope. It won't work. You can't take the promises of God and blend them with what it says in your fortune cookie. You can't blend the promises of God and take it with what it says in your tea leaf or even your Ouija board. Amen. It's God and nothing else. Amen.
That's right.
You cannot have a blended Christianity. But they had blended this religion to the place where they had become very paganistic and heathenistic, and they had committed idolatry to God. And so God said, that's enough. And so he sent his prophet, Elijah, to King Ahab. And in the presence of King Ahab, he said that the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand. There shall not be any rain nor dew these years, but according to my word.
Yes, sir.
And when he left his presence, the Lord told him, now you need to get thee hence and go hide, because he'll be coming to kill you. And so the prophet Elijah hid from the face of Ahab. Now, what happened at that time was it became very dry. There was no rain, no dew. For the space of 3.5 years, there was famine in the land. It was dry. Swimming pools had dried up. Washboards and tin tubs had dried up. Clothes that needed washing went unwashed. Dishes were piled up in the sink because water was scarce. The crops had dried up. The cattle were dying. And so it was King Ahab sent his men out looking for brooks and streams and rivers where they could bring water that the cattle might indeed live. All of this time, Israel was dry. But it wasn't really dry because there had been no rain, there was no water. They was dry because they had forsaken God. And that's what happens when you forsake God. You become dry. Amen, amen. You come to church dry. You leave church dry. Now I can tell you when you're dry because we sing songs and your lips don't move. We pray prayers and your head don't bow. The choir is singing, you don't clap your hands because you're just dry. Amen. It's a shame to come into God's house dry. And the very fact that you're dry will lead you to become drier or really dry. And what I mean by that, then you become selective as to what Sundays you'll come to church. Amen. When you get in a dry place, you'll come on the first Sunday just for communion. And we'll skip the second, third, fourth, and even the fifth Sunday. When you're dry, you'll find that, well, I shouldn't go to church today because these clothes don't fit no more. Well, we knew that when you had them on the last time. Amen. Get you some more clothes. Amen. Come to church. When you get dry, you'll find other things to do on Sunday morning. A Sunday will become your laundry day. A Sunday will become your day to go grocery shopping. Sunday will become your day to relax in your house shoes, your overcoat, I mean your wardrobe, and you'll just sit down and eat Cheerios and watch old things on television. on Sunday. Sunday will no longer be a day of worship because you've become dry. And to miss church, you really don't need a good excuse. You just need any excuse. Well, I got a hangnail. I can't go to church today. I don't feel good, so I can't go to church. Now, I can go to work tomorrow. Amen. I just can't go to church today. Your worship becomes dry, and you become dry. You become indifferent unto the Lord when you get in a dry place. They had become dry, and now everything around them was dry, and the famine was in the land, and they were destitute of water. And after a space of 3.5 years, the Lord speaks to Elijah, and he tells him, he said, go and see Ahab. Now, Ahab has sent search parties everywhere looking for him, and the first person that Elijah sees is Obadiah. Now, Obadiah, when he sees him, he falls on his face because he realized that this is the prophet of God, and all the other prophets had hid because Obadiah had hid 100 of them and fed them, but now this is the only prophet of God alive because Jezebel had killed God's prophets. Well, Jezebel had her prophets, and they were prophets of Baal. As a matter of fact, there were 450 prophets of Baal. There were 400 prophets that sat at Jezebel's table that ate in the grove, the Ashtoreth prophet, the goddess of fertility. So they had 850 prophets in the land, but all the rest of them was in hiding except the prophet Elijah.
Yes, sir.
He says, go and tell Ahab that I'm here. I've come back after these 3.5 years. And Obadiah is frightened because he says, now listen, he's been searching everywhere for you. And if I go and tell him that you're here and then you don't show up, he's going to kill me. He said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself this day unto the king. So Obadiah went and met with Ahab, and Ahab told him, and Elijah, and when he saw Elijah, Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And Elijah said, no, it ain't me, it's you. You the one caused Israel to sin. It's you and your fathers before you. He said, but I'm here now, and I want to pose a challenge to you. I want you to get all the people and get all of your prophets and meet me up on Mount Carmel. And there will be a showdown up there, and we're going to find out just who God is. Who is your God? We're going to find out. And so Ahab, we did, and the children of Israel, they all gathered the prophets together, and they went to Mount Carmel. And there on the mountain, the prophets say to the people, choose you, or how long shall you halt between two opinions? How long will you hop between one opinion or the other? How long will you waver in who your God is? How long will you straddle the fence and going from one side to the other? He says, if the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal be God, then follow him. No, don't keep hopping from one side to the other. And the same thing is going on today, whether you realize it or not. There are many people who come to church and then they leave church. They're doing all the other stuff that they didn't do. Amen, amen, amen. That cigarettes are still in the car. And now that I mentioned it, you can't wait to get out of here to go smoke one. Amen. Amen. They still got all of their thing. They still got their lottery ticket. They still got all of the things that they do. But they believe that they're Christians. Amen. They believe that they're Christians. They're trying to blend in Christianity with the things of this world. You just can't do it. Christianity will not mix with the things of this world. God loves you because God chose you. And you think you chose God? No, you didn't choose God. God chose you. If you're a Christian, the Lord chose you. Let me prove it to you. Let me throw some Bible on this so you'll see how important it is for you to choose the right God, because God chose you first.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let me throw some Bible. And it says in Ephesians 1, 4 through 5, it says, according as he has chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. That means before your mama knew your daddy, before your grandparents were born, before there was a when and a where, God knew who would be in Christ Jesus. He made that choice. I know you think that you made the choice and decided one day that you give your life to Christ, but he had been drawing you all the time because he knew who would be in Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, let me throw some more word on this to let you know, because a lot of people think you chose him. No, he chose you.
Yes, right.
This is what Jesus tells his disciples in John 15 and 19. He says, if you were in the world would have loved his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. In John 15, 16, it says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Give you some more words. Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Amen. We have been drawn, we have been drafted into the army of God. John 6:44, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me. This is Jesus talking. Draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Brothers and sisters, it's no accident that you're a Christian. You are a Christian on purpose, because God has chosen you to be a Christian. And since God has chosen you to be a Christian, there are two things that I want to tell you what you need to do. First thing you need to do is thank him. Praise him every day that he chose you to be a Christian. No, no, ain't no accidents. He chose you to be a Christian. That's the first thing. The next thing you need to do is act like it. I'm going to let that one settle in for a minute. Praise him, thank him, and then act like it. Not only when you're in here, but when you get out of here. Amen. When you take off your Sunday, go to meeting clothes, you don't take off religion. You don't take off your Christianity. Amen. You are a Christian 24/7.
Right.
You see, our salvation was God's choice. Yes. Our service to him is our choice.
Amen.
We follow him. Amen. Amen. This is what we do. If any man serve me, that's what it says in John 12:26. If any man serve him, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. This is the choice that God has made for you, but you ought to follow him. You can't just mix and match things and blend things in and do what you want to do. We have a code, we have a Bible, we have the Word of God in which we're to live by. These are the things we're to live by. Have you not noticed how intelligent mankind has become in the past 100 years? Now, man been in existence since the day of the Garden of Eden. Thousands of years man has been existing, but only the last 100 years had man been so intelligent as he could split the atom, that he's gone to the moon, that he has not only built highways all over the world, but he's flown the skyways. Only in the last 100 years has man done so much. Time, to tell you something, we haven't always had TV. We haven't always had the internet. They've always had a cell phone in our pocket, amen. God had done some marvelous things.
Yes, sir.
Listen what I'm talking about. We now have artificial intelligence. We got robots, and more robots are coming to take your place and to take your job. And one thing about robots, when I worked in the factory, they were bringing them in then. One thing, I was servicing the robots. I found out they were there every day.
That's right.
They never had a sick day. They never called in late. Amen. Robots didn't have family die so they could get 3 days off. Amen. Robots were all they just needed a little tune-up every now and then, but they were always there. And robots are coming to take your job. Amen. Amen. This is a high-tech generation. High-tech but low morale and low moral generation. This is the generation of voice control, where you got Siri and Alexa and Google, and you can just talk things into existence for that purpose. Amen. This is the generation of the internet and the Wi-Fi and social media. This is the computer age. You got smartphones, smart TVs. You got drones that are man-powered. You got self-driving vehicles on its way. Amen. And right now they have cars that'll put on brakes for you. Amen. Amen. I could have got that feature in my truck. I said, no, I've been driving it long without it. I don't need it now. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The modular systems of your car that computes all this thing can be hacked. Amen. Just like some of you have been hacked on Facebook and other things. Amen. Man has become more intelligent, but he has lost his morals. And he's closer to hell than he ever been. He's built remarkable gadgets in these past 100 years. And then these things have been there to spoil us, to distract us. And times you don't realize it, you're actually worshiping those things because you spend more time with those things than you do with God. I know I'm telling the truth. Come on, can you go a day without your smartphone? You used to. It hadn't been invented. Amen. Can you go a day without checking your email, a day without television? You used to. Can you go a day without electrical power? You don't need power for about a week, you'll go absolutely crazy. The people in Puerto Rico hadn't had power for about 2 or 3 months now, but they're still making it. See, we're spoiled. We're used to these things. Could you go a week without a credit card? You used to. If the power grid goes out, a lot of us will be totally frustrated. Amen. If the infrastructure collapses, and it will collapse one day, but you won't be able to do anything. We're just spoiled rotten. Amen. Depending upon these things instead of depending upon God.
Amen. Help us, Lord.
But you can't mix what God has said with what the world has said. You don't need no crystal ball. You don't need to read no tea leaves. All you can do is read the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
God will not be blended with anything. He gives us everything that we need. Amen. Yes. And you have a right to your opinion. Everybody has opinions, but what is your opinion based upon?
Amen.
Is it upon the solid doctrine of the Bible? Can people tell that you're a Christian by what you say and how you say it and how you talk and how you walk? How long will you stagger? How long will you waver between two opinions?
That's right.
You cannot be double-minded, for it says in James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You can't be double-minded. You need to be single-minded and have your mind stayed on Jesus. Amen. And so it was that the challenge has been posed to Ahab.
Yes, sir.
And to the 450 prophets of Baal, the 400 prophets of Ashtoreth, the fertility god, that to meet on Mount Carmel. And since Baal was the fire god, was the sun god, he said that the first God who answers by fire, that will be the God. He said, we'll have two young bullocks, and you choose the one you want, and I'll take the other. He said, you kill him, cut him up, build an altar, put the wood upon it, put the pieces of the, the bullock upon the altar, but don't put no fire under it. And then call on your God and tell your God to send down some fire. And that's what I want you to do. Send down some fire. And so all of the prophets of Baal, they got together and they did just that. They cut up the bullock. They cut him in pieces and they built the altar and they put the wood upon there and they put the pieces of the bullock on there. And then they began to call on Baal. Oh, Baal. Oh, Baal. Send down your fire. They began to dance all around the altar as they called upon him. Oh, Baal. Oh, Baal. Send down your fire. They even got a little tune in. Oh, Baal. Oh, Baal. Send down your fire. But Baal didn't answer. There was not a word from Baal. They began to leap up on the altar. They began to take their knives and their swords, begin to cut themselves and pour blood all over the altar. And they began to dance and prance and call, oh, Baal. But Baal wouldn't answer. Then Elijah began to mock them and said, maybe he's busy. Maybe he went on a trip. You got to read this. It's right there. Maybe he's using the restroom right now, but I don't see Baal. He hasn't sent down fire. For 3 hours, from noon to the evening sacrifice of 3 p.m., they called upon the name of Baal. See how this one prophet of God is outnumbered by all of these, but they could not get a call from their God. Remember, the people answered not a word when they were posed as to their opinion. So who is your God? The one that will answer by fire. Who is your God, brothers and sisters? Who do you worship? What things do you worship? Who do you give the most attention to? Who do you find time for when you can't find time to read the Bible? You got all these time-saving devices. What are you saving the time for? Amen. Amen. Come on, you didn't have to take your clothes down to the river to wash them. You got a washing machine. You can turn them bad boys on and walk away from it. Amen. You can dry your clothes. You ain't got to hang them on the line no more. You got all these time-saving devices, and yet you spend your time doing things that are not pleasing to God. You don't read the Word. You don't study. You come here whenever you feel like coming, and most times you don't feel like coming. And I've told you before, you can't never grow up till you show up. You need to get a Word of God in you. Who is your God? Where is your allegiance? Who are you following? Who are you serving? Has Satan tricked you to think that this is enough for you to come and sit here and then for me to preach to you and then for you to give your offering and then get up and go on your merry way and nothing has changed? Do you think that's all that God wants? Do you consider that to be worship? Listen, we come in to worship, but we go out to witness about the goodness of God and all that God has done. And we think about him all day long. And when people see you smiling and ask you why you're smiling, you're supposed to say it's Jesus. But I watch what you put out on your social media. I watch what you put on Instagram and Facebook. Amen. And how one day you're praising God and the next day you're praising somebody else. Are you praising the God of Oprah? Praising the God of Barack Obama? Praising the God of Steve Harvey? Who is your God? Is your God your child or your grandchild? Do you think more about them, care more about them than you do yourself? Are you worshiping that God you see in the mirror? You better think about it. To follow God is to follow his commandments, to follow his doctrines, his ways. To know God is to follow God, forsaking sin and anything that has control over you. Amen. You cannot straddle the fence, be on one side or the other. There's no blending God with anything else. And so after 3 hours of them frantically calling on Baal, Elijah says, step aside. I got this. He takes 12 stones and he builds an altar each stone representing one of the tribes of Israel. He puts the wood over the stones of the altar. And then he does something strange. He digs a trench around the altar. What's that for? He said, just keep watching, you'll see. He digs a trench. Then he said, bring me some water. They said, you know how scarce water is? He said, bring me some water. Pour the water over the sacrifice. Pour it over the wood. Let it go down to the trenches that I dug. Not only one time, not two times, but do it again, three times. I want you to fill up the trench around there. It's soaked. Fire ain't gonna burn this now. He said, oh, you don't know the God I serve. Yeah. The Bible says it came to pass that Elijah, after they had done everything, he called upon the name of the Lord. He said, now, he said, God of Abraham, Isaac, and the God of Israel, yes, sir. I'm calling upon your name. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that indeed you are Lord God and that you sent me to do this.
Yes, sir.
And then the fire of the Lord fell. And I noticed that this is so accurate that it came down from heaven. It didn't consume the people. It didn't consume the prophet, but God aimed it right at the altar. And not only did he burn up the soaked, wet sacrifice, but all the wood and the stone, and then licked up the water. There was nothing left. Elijah turned now and said, well, now who your daddy? Well, he didn't say it like that, but I'm thinking that he should have said it like that. Who your daddy now? Well, the Bible said that the people, when they saw it, fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is the God. Now, brothers and sisters, they did this because they saw the miracle. They were frightened out of their wits. Now they said, it's the Lord. Now, one of the good things about this was that he told the people, since you say it's the Lord and you believe it's the Lord, let all of those prophets catch every one of them. Bring them down here by the brook Kishon. And he killed every last one of 850 prophets. He said, I know it ain't been raining, but let me go up to the mountaintop and talk to God again. And he gonna send you some rain because he like that. He can send fire. He can send rain. He can send you everything you need. Now, I don't know how about your God, but if your God ain't working for you, I guarantee my God is working for me. And if you won't try mine, if your God ain't doing nothing, you try my God. My God works. My God is eternal. My God never fails. The only true, wise, and living God. Well, I want to change the question. Not so much who is your God. Can your God love you like my God loves me? Yeah, yeah. Can the thing that you love, the thing that you worship, the thing that you follow, can they love you? The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And we have tried to adjust our Christianity to fit the world, but you can't adjust Christianity to fit nothing. It just won't fit. You cannot water it down. You can't mix it with nothing. When the world says that homosexuality is a common thing, the Bible says, no, it's not. When the world says transgender people should have the same place as other people, the Bible says, no. Amen. We got a weed smoking nation now. Amen. I remember when it was against the law. Now you can get all the weed you want for medicinal purposes. Talking about I got glaucoma. Everybody got glaucoma now. I need some weed. State after state is probably, and people are running out in a weed business now. We're in a messed up world, brothers and sisters. Don't let it mess you up. The question is, can your God love you like my God? Are you waiting on some miracle? Why is it that you don't even want to come to church till you get sick? Then you go, oh Lord, until you lose your job. Something going on in your world, then you come and then you don't even come, you're going to sit up in the balcony. I know, I'm telling the truth now. You don't want to get too close to the fire, amen. You don't want to get burned. But God is available all the time. I know what you say. I don't have to go to church to worship God. Yes, you do. I know you worship him and Beauty Rest Baptist Church, and I know you stay at home and you can worship God, but you need to be around the saints of God. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves as we see the day coming. And the day is coming pretty soon. Jesus Christ is coming back. You need to be in the place. You need to show up that you might grow up. I'm telling you the truth. The Lord is coming soon. Technology ought to tell you we've never been this smart before and so stupid at the same time.
Amen. Amen.
But my God has proven his love because he sent his only begotten son.
Yes, yes.
Who had no sin yet had all of our sin put upon him. God has demonstrated his love by sending Jesus Christ, the only begotten of God. If you don't believe that's love, if you don't believe that's a miracle, that's a miracle. You waiting on a miracle? You looking at one right now. I'm a miracle. God saved my wretched soul, and I'm glad about it. Yes, he sent his only son to die for me and to die for you. And Jesus came down here and went to a cross. They nailed his hands and nailed his feet, put a crown of thorns upon his head. He hung upon the cross. He suffered, he bled, and he died for us. If that ain't love, what is love? He died for us. They took him down from the cross and put him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there Friday and all day Saturday. But the Bible says it was early Sunday morning. I don't know what time it was, but it was 1 a.m., 2 a.m. All I know, the Bible said early Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. That same Jesus sits at the right hand side of God. That same Jesus is coming back. And you better get ready, because the Lord is coming back. Get to one side or the other. Don't ride the fence. Get on the Lord's side, and the Lord will be on your side. If you're going to serve the devil, just go on to hell then. Amen. But don't forget, if you're a Christian, you were chosen. You are his choice. And it's your choice to serve and to follow him. Please stand to your feet.
Thank you, Lord.
The door to the church
Thank you, Lord.
Is open.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. And we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.